I think most pastors actually are when we get to this text for today, because we're not quite sure what to do with it. In the beginning of Matthew 5, if you open a Bible, I'm not saying you have to today, but when you get home you should, is Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. I mean, here's how it goes. Jesus saw the crowds and went up on a hill where he sat down. His disciples gathered around him, and then he began to teach them. And then you know the rest. The blessed. But then something changed. I don't know if Jesus looked out at his disciples and maybe they were nodding off. Maybe they weren't paying attention more. Maybe Jesus knew what lied ahead. And I got to be honest with you, he holds nothing back. He says it like it is. And if you heard that gospel today, if you read that gospel today and you get that little uneasy feeling in your stomach, well, then it's doing what it should do. Because it should scare us. It should scare every single one of us sitting here this day. Because as we listen to what Jesus has to say, we know deep down in our hearts, he's talking to you. He's talking to me. Now that's bad enough. It's bad enough when Jesus can look into our hearts and point out our sins right in front of our faces. But then he gives us his cure. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. If your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. Seems rather drastic. And I'll be honest with you, though, if people did what Jesus said to do, there would not be a single person walking around the face of this earth today that wouldn't be blind in one eye or be left-handed. But is that really what Jesus wants? Well, I think by now we know enough about our Lord. We know what the rest of Scripture teaches. And we know that that is not what Jesus is saying at all. Jesus knows that removing our eyes or arms or any other part of our body isn't the cure for our sinless or sinful thoughts and actions. But that doesn't mean we should ignore the warnings that Jesus says. For sin is a big deal to our Savior. And he knows the damage that sin can bring between two people. He knows the damage that sin could bring to a congregation. And he knows what sin has done between God and mankind. So then what is Jesus getting at? If it's not our eyes or arms or even our tongues, then what is it? Well, very simply this: to fix sin, we have to get to the heart of the problem. Back in the days when I was working for EDS, we had this one program that would occasionally abort. And unfortunately, that would usually be very early in the morning, like 1 or 2 o'clock. The function of the program was rather a simple one, in that it verified that the data that we got in from our customers was what we expected. Very simply this: if we expected to find numbers, we would expect to receive numbers. If we expected to receive A through Z, we expected to receive from the customer A through Z. But can you guess what happened every now and then? We found what we refer to as corrupt data. Instead of finding numbers, we would find things like a dollar sign, an asterisk, any of those special characters you see on your keyboard. And in the fields where we would expect to find A through Z, well, we found everything else but a letter. We refer to it at work as bad data in, bad data out. And it's the same with you and me. If your hand causes you to sin, is it the fault of your hand? Or is it the fault of the heart that stands behind the hand? If my eye causes me to sin, is it my eye's fault? Or is it the fault of my heart that stands behind my eye? Solomon wrote in the book of Proverbs, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." That means if your heart has been corrupted with bad data, with sin, the rest of your body is going to do sinful things. Let's take gossip, for example. How many of you agree that gossip is a bad thing? Raise your hand. But yet when we get around people who gossip, what do we quickly find ourselves doing? We join right in. It's the easy thing to do. How about lying? How many of you think lying's a bad thing? Raise your hand. Lying is wrong. We all know it. But yet, how many of us have purposely told the lie and then convinced ourselves that what we did was the right thing to do? And it's at this point where the words from Jesus become very painful. For he is asking that if there's anything in our heart, anything in our minds, or anything in our lives that is causing us to do the things which go against what God has commanded, then it's got to go. We have to get rid of it. It's not easy. It's hard to give up those sinful pleasures that we've become accustomed to doing. But yet Jesus warns that if we cannot get rid of the sin in our lives, the consequences will be fatal. Do you know what Scripture says? The wages of sin is death. And that's why Jesus says, get rid of it. So how do we do it? Well, let's go back to the problem I mentioned when I was still working at EDS. You see, I was one of the few that actually got called at 1 o'clock in the morning every time that a program aborted. Just ask my wife. And so we sat down one day and said, why don't we do this? Why don't we write a program that checks the data before we even get to the master program, if you will? As soon as we get the information in from the customer that day, why don't we just scan it to make sure that it's fine? And if we find any corrupt data, here's what we're going to do for our customer. We're going to take out that portion of the record that's bad. We'll cut it right out. We'll put it into another file, a bad file, if you will, and we'll send it back to the customer where they can fix it. We called it scrubbing the data. Now imagine if we could do that with our heart. Imagine if you and I could sit there and scrub our hearts clean. But we can't. There is no program. There is nothing that has been created yet that's going to remove that sin. But there is a person. And that person is none other than our Savior himself, Jesus Christ. Jesus knows that on our own we will never, ever be able to defeat sin. And that's why he came into the world to be our Savior. Remember what the angel Gabriel said to Mary and Joseph? You will call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And that's exactly what he did with his death and resurrection. Jesus is the one who forgives our sins. He is the one who gives us a new life. And he's the one who gives us the power to live his way. To love our God. To love one another. As King David prayed, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. And take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. When we gather in front of our Lord this day at his table, he answered that prayer. He opened our hearts and he got out all that sin, all that guilt, all those evil thoughts and all those evil desires. And he covered it instead with his love, his grace, and his forgiveness. And as we left his table clean, so we will leave this church in a few moments clean too. To go out into the world, to be the peace, to be the voice of reasoning, to be the people of reconciliation. God gave you a heart check today. He has pronounced you innocent. So go out and use it. Amen.